Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
Probably every kid at some point in their life has dreamed of becoming a firefighter. Well, our guest this morning has been living the dream for quite some time. He's been fire chief in the city of McKeesport since 2015 and recently earned his chief fire officer certification, one of only 54 firefighters in the state of Pennsylvania to hold that certification. He is Jeffrey Tomasik. He is our guest this morning. Good morning, Chief Tomasik.
Good morning, Jason. Thank you for having me on.
When did you first become interested in becoming a firefighter?
Well, so my father actually was a member of the Port View Volunteer Fire Department, and he was a police officer as well, so he kind of dual-hatted. Obviously, his full-time job was a police officer. He was a police chief in Port View. So I always aspired actually to become a police officer, but I also wanted to serve the community in any capacity possible, really, so I became a volunteer firefighter with Port View when I was 18. But it was always something I was interested in. When I was younger, and we would go through the parade when I played Little League Baseball, and we would ride in Port View's REO Speedwagon squad, which was like a 1950-something REO Speedwagon, which we know is pretty awesome. I think we may have all seen a photo of that floating around the internet. That's a pretty well-known piece. It's been, I believe, the Rose Bowl parade out in California. Mm-hmm.
And Port View's fire trucks are blue and gold for people who are not originally from the McKeesport area. So they're a little bit distinctive to begin with.
Very distinctive. And they have the bulldog on the side as well. Mm-hmm. So that was my first fire department. And things just kind of took off from there. So I just really found a passion for it.
Is that a path for a lot of career firefighters to start out in a volunteer fire department?
In Allegheny County, it certainly is. And if you want to become a career firefighter, you're somewhat at a disadvantage in this county, just because there are not many career departments. But you can certainly start here and get your training and get your feet wet. And, you know, if you want to aspire to move on, there are a lot of opportunities around us, and there are a lot of opportunities just south of us.
Jeffrey Tomasik is a fire chief in McKeesport. He has been the fire chief there for almost 10 years, 9 years now. When did you join the McKeesport Fire Department?
March of 2005. I started. It was my first day. I remember like it was yesterday.
I stopped into the West Homestead Volunteer Fire Department a couple of weeks ago, and they have a sign on the bench, and I'm going to get the wording wrong, but the sign on the bench out front is something like professional firefighters but volunteers. And I noticed that's a distinction that's being made more and more, that a volunteer firefighter does not mean you're not also a professional. Explain that a little bit for me.
Well, I think, you know, the classic definition of professional, obviously, is you collect a paycheck, but it's being seen more as your attitude towards the job that you do, and not necessarily the job of collecting a paycheck. It's just getting out there and being involved in the community and becoming a volunteer firefighter. And just because you collect a paycheck as a career firefighter, in my opinion, it doesn't necessarily make you a professional firefighter. You have to bring that professional attitude to work here as well, even though you're getting paid.
I had someone I used to work with in radio who used to say some people are in radio for 20 years and some people do their first year in radio 20 times. And it sounds, because the training for someone who is a paid career firefighter versus a volunteer firefighter, the training is virtually the same, is it not?
Yeah, it can be the same. Absolutely. Some can be a little bit more stringent. The city of Pittsburgh has their own academy. Mm-hmm. I believe it's up to 8 months now. And when you finish that academy and you come out, you will have a lot more training your first day out the door than you will as your first day as a volunteer firefighter. But as a volunteer firefighter, you can certainly work towards that amount of training. It just might take you a little bit longer. So it's really, as a volunteer firefighter, you can kind of just go at your own pace. For us, we require a minimum amount of training, and then we train pretty regularly on the job. We have company level training, and we have a contract with Westmoreland County Public Safety, and they come in regularly, and we host classes. So
we're talking with Jeff Tomasek, who is the fire chief in McKeesport, and people can the city can reach you how through Facebook, City McKeesport Fire Department, and I think there's a website as well. They can reach you through the city's website, I guess, McKeesport-PA.gov.
Yes, the Facebook you can reach a number of ways. The City of McKeesport Mayor's Office has a Facebook page. You can get us through there. The City of McKeesport Bureau of Fire, we have a Facebook page as well. I recommend you like and follow both. www.mckeesport-pa.gov is the city's website as well. There's a form on there that you can fill out to contact myself. It will send an email to me. Or you can contact the firehouse. It's 412-675-5021. And that's for anything. If you want to stop in and see the fire station, if you have questions about smoke alarms, or if you want to set up a fire safety training, just reach out.
Do kids still get excited? Because I see pictures on their Facebook sometimes of you guys doing fire prevention and fire safety and also just trying to get kids not to be afraid of the first responder, of the fire truck, the ambulance, the police car. Kids still get excited? And what are their reactions when they get to climb on a fire truck, meet a firefighter?
Yeah, the kids still get excited. And I'll be honest, I get excited when the kids get excited. It's one of the best parts of the job. Just putting a smile on a kid's face and the community involvement. And when they come in and they're looking at the fire truck and you ask, hey, do you want to sit in the driver's seat? And they just look at you like, oh, I can sit up there? And it's absolutely. You lift them up and put them in the driver's seat and you get to take a picture of them up there. And yeah, it just makes their day. And, it humanizes us. You know, it's like we're just everyday people. You know, we're behind you at Stuart DeGroote, you know, at Giant Eagle. We're behind you in line. You know, we're not athletes or anything like that. We're just normal people out here doing an everyday job. So, you know, there's no reason to be afraid of us when we have our gear on.
I was just going to say that, but you've got that bunker coat on and the turnout gear and the helmet and then maybe the face shield down and the air pack on the back and maybe, you know, carrying a Hurst tool or something. That can be a little bit, especially for a small kid, that can be a little bit intimidating, I can understand.
Yes, it can. It can. And that's why when they come to the station or when we go out to the schools or we're out in the community, trunk or treat. You know, we had a bunch of kids out to high school, and if they wanted to see the apparatus, we just took them around and put the doors up and showed them and talked to them and just let them know that, hey, you know, if something happens and you see the fire truck and you see the firefighters, it's us. You know, the same firefighters handing you a Hershey's bar, we're going to be the ones if something happens with all the gear on, and we're going to be the ones coming in to help you. So it's nothing to be afraid of.
And I know the police officers have done the trunk or treat, and they do shop with a cop too for kind of the same reasons, to kind of break the ice. Let's talk a little bit about this career fire department thing, because McKeesport has a paid fire department. City of Pittsburgh has a paid fire department. How many are there in Allegheny County here?
Fully paid. There are, to my knowledge, I believe, just three right now. So the borough of Wilkinsburg was one, but they merged into Pittsburgh. So there's us, Pittsburgh, and the International Airport, which staffs Pittsburgh International and Allegheny County Airport right now. But there are a number of combination departments that are volunteer staff, which are augmented by career staff. So we're seeing a lot more of that. Unfortunately, volunteerism is dwindling. It's declining significantly, and putting on the career staff is really just a move that it has to be made right now, just to make sure that our communities are safe, just to make sure that we can get fire apparatus out the door to respond to emergencies. And we are finding ourselves running more mutual aid now than ever.
Mutual aid meaning going out and helping other departments in neighboring communities.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Working fires. We're finding ourselves going to help Elizabeth and Glassport on a semi-regular basis.
Okay. We have a break coming up. The time goes quickly, but let's sort of close the thought out. People work two jobs now. People don't work regular shifts now. People may work from home. They may have childcare duties. Are those some of the factors that are keeping people from volunteering with their local fire department?
No, absolutely. It certainly is. You know, back in the day when we had steel mills, we had shift work. You know, we had the guys who worked overnight, and they were available for daylight calls at volunteer departments. That's just not a thing anymore, really. There's still shift work, but obviously not the amount that there used to be. So we have a majority of people working daylight. You have a majority of households where obviously both parents are working because it's just a necessity now. And if they're not working for one reason or another, one parent is home and they have kids because they can't afford childcare. It's just tough right now, obviously. And then couple that with the amount of training hours required, which Pennsylvania actually does not have any minimum training standards for firefighters. But a lot of departments have adopted their own sets of minimum training standards just because it's a smart thing to do, because you want to make sure that you're sending in trained firefighters. You don't want to take a risk of getting anybody hurt on the department or in the community by sending someone in who's untrained. So there's a lot of demands on firefighters, and just the time to do it in someone's free time, on top of that, with fundraising, it's become difficult. So you're just seeing the career departments are just starting to pop up. You know, it's starting with the career chiefs, and it's starting with part-time staff, and it's just starting to a snowball effect.
Let's pause right there. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about this training process. I want to talk about this chief fire officer certification that you recently earned, and also talk about if somebody is seeking a career in the fire service, where should they start out? What are some preparatory steps they can take? Okay.
All right.
Jeff Tomasik is chief of the McKeesport Fire Department. You can learn more. You can find them on Facebook at McKeesport Bureau of Fire. From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Chief, before we took the break, we were talking a little bit about the training process. Let's say somebody is listening to this, and just what is the training commitment? Because that, I'll bet that scares some people off from volunteering from their local fire department. They may think, oh, gee, I can't commit the time to train, or that I couldn't hack it. Like I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, the training can be, but it's significant. In every year, it seems like it increases. And to be honest with you, Jason, it's one of those things you can't train enough for a job that can literally kill you.
Sure.
And you know, don't let that be a deterrent. I know it sounds pretty serious, but you know, essentials when I started firefighting, which is your basics. It's your basics of firefighting, and it's broken up into four modules now. It was less than 100 hours, and I believe now it is close to 200, if not over 200 hours of training, and that is just the basics. And once you finish that, then you can move on and you can take your Firefighter One certification. And that's just the basics. There are so many classes above and beyond that, specialty classes, vehicle rescue classes,
yeah,
water rescue,
yeah,
classes, hazmat classes. Really, there's just so many little caveats in the fire service. I mean, it's one of those things, and we talk about training here in the department. Training really is instrumental in this job, and it's one of those things that you don't stop doing. And if you ever feel like you've hit the point to where you don't want to train and you feel like you know it all, you should just retire, because I can assure you, you don't. You never stop learning in this field. So if you want to get into it, myself personally, I joined a volunteer department. That's where I got my foot in the door. That's where I really was able to go to my essentials training. I did it locally with some very well-known firefighters from the area. I was able to do it at Allegheny County Fire Academy. Allegheny Fire Academy is a really good resource. And then you have Westmoreland County Fire Academy and Butler County Fire Academy. And you can get a lot of training in the area at no cost. You just really have to find the time. And once you do that and you get experience, a lot of the smaller departments like us will take applicants with that training, and that will suffice. And you'll just have to do some on-the-job training. Your larger departments like City of Pittsburgh, to more training, mm-hmm, they might send you through another abbreviated academy. But that's really where a lot of the firefighters get their start, is in the volunteer department.
You raise an interesting issue that I'm glad you brought up, and that is that a lot of what we ask the firefighters to do these days is not necessarily fighting fires. It is, you mentioned water rescue, it is vehicle rescue, it is hazmat response. There's a vehicle accident and there's diesel fuel on the road. Flooded basements and flooded houses that you're responding to. How much of the job is, when you're responding to calls, is responding to actual structure fires, and how much of it is these call, what we call calls for assistance or public assistance?
Yeah, I don't have a specific breakdown. I can't give you percentages, but let me just tell you, it is not nearly as much as it used to be.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, I can't sit there and tell you we won't respond to a house fire for a week, but we might not respond to a house fire for a month, and then we'll respond to two or three within a week.
Yeah, but, as we're talking, you just had two large ones that you responded to.
Yeah, within a week. But by and large, a majority of our calls are gas calls. This time of year, it's carbon monoxide calls.
Yeah.
We respond to vehicle accidents constantly. We might go and help the EMS with lifting patients.
Sure.
We really are like the toolbox. We're like dad's toolbox. you open it up and you're like, what's that tool do? You might not know, but we do, because somebody else doesn't do it, but we do. We got a call over the summer. We had an elderly person during the heat wave that we had and needed help getting an air conditioner in the window. And we go out and we do that.
What are the physical requirements? Because that's probably something people ask too, that, oh, gee, I don't know if I could pass the physical requirements to be a firefighter. What kind of shape do you have to be in?
It is a physically demanding job,
mm-hmm.
but obviously not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you this much, when it is physically demanding, it can be very, very hard, mm-hmm. very hard. We see a lot of injuries at fires, obviously, because you're going from sitting at the kitchen table in a lounge, you're going from 0 to 60.
Or if you're a volunteer, you might be asleep. You might be at your other job. You might be, you know, playing with your kids, catching the backyard.
Right. You could be sitting in your kid's Little League game.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're running to the firehouse.
Yeah.
Right.
Plus, you've got that. How heavy? I mentioned, you know, you got the bunker coat, or they used to call it, or turnout gear, and maybe you got a Scott Air pack, and you got a radio, and you got whatever else. How many pounds of gear are you guys carrying sometimes?
It's good. As technology improves, you know, we're seeing lighter gear, which is nice, because we're losing heat faster, which mm-hmm. is good for us. So, you know, a set of turnout gear might be 20 some pounds now.
Sure.
Once you have it all on. Your Scott pack, you might be somewhere around 18
yeah.
pounds, all said and done. Then you put, you know, a tool in your hand. You drag a charge engine 3/4 hose mm-hmm. line. It is a physically demanding job. And even if you're in really good shape, a lot of the injuries that we see the firefighters are cardiac.
Sure.
Just because you're overheating your body.
Yeah.
And once you overheat your body, your blood platelets tend to stay together. We see a lot of cardiac problems with firefighters.
And if it's not August, and you're not fighting a structure fire in August, you're fighting one in the dead of winter, and you're freezing up, the hose is freezing up, the water is freezing, slip and falls, all kinds of things.
Everything. You name it. Yes. I can't tell you how many times we've put hose in the back of a pickup truck because we can't roll it. Mm-hmm. It's just frozen, and it's an absolute mess.
We have another break coming up. The time does go quickly, but you are something of a lifelong learner. Jeff Tomasik is a fire chief in the city of McKeesport. McKeesport Fire is the handle on Facebook, or you can find them on the city's website, mckeesport-pa.gov. You went back to school while working in the fire service and while serving as fire chief, correct?
Yes. Yes. Once I got the position, I realized that, you know, I had a lot of ideas for the fire service. I don't think I really knew how to apply them properly. I came to the realization that I don't think I was quite prepared, or mm-hmm. as prepared as I thought I was. I realized there was something that I could do about that. And I had a discussion with some local fire chiefs, and one of them being Daryl Jones from the city of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And he recommended that I look into a program at Point Park University. And I looked into the public administration program for my bachelor's, and that's where I attended Point Park and graduated in 2018 with my bachelor's degree. And believe it or not, I really enjoyed going back to school. And I thought, I'm just going to keep it rolling.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going.
Once
and
you're in the habit,
I'm
sure.
Jump right into my master's. Mm-hmm. So I graduated in December of 18. And that same month, I jumped right into my master's in leadership. And I completed that a year later. So I was actually looking at a PhD. The only thing that stopped me was student loans.
as it stops many of us. In fact, we're going to stop right there and take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about this CFO designation.
All right.
You are listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. And we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com. Or call 412-678-6191.
Back for a final few minutes with Chief Jeff Tomasik of the McKeesport Fire Department. You can find them on Facebook at McKeesport Fire, or you can check out the city's website, mckeesport-pa.gov, 412-675-5021. If you live in the city of McKeesport, and for instance, you need help with a smoke detector or a carbon monoxide detector, Jeff and his team will help you fix up, again, if you're in the city of McKeesport there. So you have earned a designation that there's, I believe, only 54 other people in the state of Pennsylvania have, and that is a chief fire officer designation. That you must be pretty excited about. What does that mean?
Yes, that is, so far, that is really the pinnacle of my, personally, of my professional development. So that is a designation that is earned through the Center for Public Safety Excellence, and is a pretty, somewhat rare, I suppose you could say, designation. And it essentially acknowledges that I have worked hard to get where I'm at. I've worked hard on my professional development, my community involvement. I've worked hard in just all different facets of the fire service. And I had to lay out a professional development plan for the future to show that I have no intentions of stopping. Mm-hmm. I recently just applied to the Executive Fire Officer Program at the National Fire Academy, which is a graduate level program, which accepted is an additional 2 years of coursework where I'll have to go study on campus to earn that. In essence, it's a degree. So, you know, when you said lifelong learner, I mean, it couldn't be more accurate. As long as it's not student loans, I'm there.
So the CFO designation, I'm assuming, what goes into receiving that? I'm assuming you have to submit a lot of documentation. Do they come and interview the people that you work with? How do they determine that? Because I'm assuming they're not obviously giving that out to everyone.
No, they're not. So it was a pretty long application, and they look at multiple components. First off, you have to be a battalion chief or higher in the department. They look at your community involvement. They look at your professional appointments, awards or recognition. You have to have letters of reference. They come back over your employment information, your professional memberships and affiliations. They want to see you belong to fire service organizations. Mm-hmm. In this instance, I sit on the executive board for the Pennsylvania Career Fire Chiefs. I am currently the second vice president. So I would like to think that was pretty instrumental because that's an organization that works really hard for fire service in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Locally, I sit on the executive board of directors for the Heritage Center. So I personally try and maintain a high level of involvement in not only the community, but the fire service and the Commonwealth. And nationally, every year I attend the Congressional Fire Service Institute dinner in Washington, D.C., and we take the opportunity to talk to our federal legislators about issues in the fire service. So they take things like that into consideration, and there's a pretty long phone interview, and it's a pretty intensive peer-reviewed credential, mm-hmm. and it took over a month. And I was definitely kind of on the edge of my seat the whole time. And, you know, education plays a big part in it. And your training plays a big part into it. So it really just has to all come together. And I was very fortunate in the fact that it did. And to receive this designation, this credential from the CPSC was, it was vital. It was very important to me. Just as a goal, a personal goal, I really just kind of wanted to make this happen. It was something that I can't stress how important it was to me to really just attain this. So it was a milestone for me.
What do you like about being a firefighter after having had this as a career for 19 years now? Chief for almost 10 years.
Well, I can tell you, I enjoy the fact that in this position specifically here in the city of McKeesport, I get to interact with the firefighters on the floor, and I can still go out in the community and interact with the community. If I'm driving down the street, I can stop and I can talk to somebody. Numerous times, I can't tell you how many times I've driven down the street and someone, I don't know, it looks like they're having a bad day, and it's happened before. I've seen someone who the car's broke down. I've stopped and helped change a tire before. Kids playing on the side of the street. Just anything I can do, be involved in the community. And my heart is in this city. I grew up in Port View, not far from here, obviously. You know, I'm just right across the river, and I was on Rebecca Street. So literally I had a lot of friends in Upper 10th Ward. And I knew a lot of people in Port View. And my uncle was a detective here in the city. And I had a lot of family that already lived in McKeesport. So I was, you know, Port View is Port View, but, you know, I felt like I was already part of the community when I moved here. And I feel even more intertwined in this community now. Like, I feel like I am McKeesport, you know? I feel like people are afraid of McKeesport. And it's ridiculous. I feel like I can go walk down any road in this community and have stop and have a conversation with anybody. And that's what I like about this position. That's what I like about being here. And the fire department's very well received here. And we've worked hard to make that happen. We've worked hard to stay involved in the community. That's probably the part that I love about the job the best. You know, it's not the title. It's not the red lights and the siren. It's just being out among the community, getting a chance to make the difference, going out and helping the senior citizen put their air conditioner in the window. Had a senior citizen up on, I think it was Power Street. Couldn't get her air conditioner to come on. Thought there was something wrong with it. She just had a Nest thermostat. Wasn't sure how to use it. Took about 25 minutes, but even I was able to figure it out, and we got her air conditioner on. And it's just stuff like that. It's like just getting out there and being able to help the community. That's what I enjoy about being a firefighter.
If you live in the city of McKeesport and you have questions about the fire department and you need help with a smoke detector or a carbon monoxide detector, you can call the station, 412-675-5021. You can reach them through the city's website, mckeesport-pa.gov, and you can follow them on Facebook at McKeesport Fire. McKeesport Fire Chief Jeff Tomasik has been our guest. He recently was awarded, or earned, I suppose I should say, more properly, the Chief Fire Officer Certification from the Commission on Professional Credentialing. Thank you so much, Chief Tomasik, for taking some time to talk with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Jason, and I look forward to seeing you and everybody else on the 23rd at the Salute to Santa Parade.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, and thank you all for listening this morning to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.